When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We got really good players around us. We got James Hamm from the Insiders. James, I'm sure you have seen this from practice today. Your buddy over at the Kings Beat, Sean Cunningham, clipped this and put it on Twitter. If you haven't, and for those who have missed it, we're going to play this. This is the way we take this is Mike Brown today talking directly to De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, the reality of it is it starts with me, it ends with me, but Fox has to step up. He's a great player on the verge of being a superstar. As there are those guys, and there are the superstars that win at a high level. And part of his responsibility, starting with him, now it doesn't excuse Domas, that doesn't excuse DeMar, that doesn't excuse Malik, and even Keegan at a young age, doesn't excuse everybody. But you have a lot of responsibility if you're that guy, and he's that guy. And he can't be a part of not being locked in. And he for damn sure can't be a part of letting it go if we're not as a team. And so the pressure is on me, and the pressure is on him to go get it done.
Thanks to Sean Cunningham and Fox 40 for that clip. Hammer, what'd you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, this isn't the first time we've heard Mike say something like this, but to be honest with you, like the tape never lies. And there's a reason why, you know, the Kings get off to slow starts, both in the third quarter and in the first quarter. And a lot of times they're just not hitting the gas coming out of the gate. And when De'Aaron Fox is engaged 100% and flying around the court and putting pressure on the opposition, both on the offensive end and defensive end, the Sacramento Kings are a different team. The ball goes in the hole more often. That's just the way it goes. Everything goes faster when Fox decides he's going to take over a game. And whether it's like talking about how to get De'Aaron angry or it's whatever it is, it like we're too deep into this now. You know, I kind of feel like there's a lot of this is just like De'Aaron is who he is and trying to get more out of him. Like, okay, it might work for a week. It might work for 6 weeks. It might, you know, it might hold out for like 2 months. But in the end, he's going to be who he is. And that's a great player. But is he a top tier superstar? I mean, no, he's close. But he's not quite there at, you know, where we consider Luka or even Shea or, you know, a Giannis, you know, and it's tough like to compare him to these players, but I mean, that's the game, right? That's the NBA. And, I get it. Like a lot of times you're left just wondering like, why did it work out this way? Why did you show us flashes of how good you are? But those flashes came in like small bursts here and there. And, you know, it's tough. And then on the other hand, like they're clearly doing like a media tour with him. His people are where he's having honest conversations about what might be his future. And, you know, his future in Sacramento, realistically, it's tied to a couple of things. But one of those things, one thing that he can control is how hard he plays every second that he's on the floor. And, you know, like, sure, this is a flawed roster. And we've been saying that forever. And like, I don't care who wants to fight me on that, whether it's a front office personnel or anyone else. I don't care. This has been a flawed roster. You don't have the complementary pieces for Domas, for De'Aaron at every position. And that's not always easy. And there's give and take in the league about how you build a roster and everything else. But I sure would like to see a team that has, you know, the pieces in place to make this thing all successful. So it isn't all on De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah. I look at De'Aaron and I loved what Mike Brown had to say. And like you said, it's maybe not the first time he said it. And I know for sure it's not the first time he's told De'Aaron this face to face, you know, it's conversations that they have a number of different times, but I like him putting it out there publicly that no, you're the man, you're the guy. And there's a lot of things that you're responsible for that maybe aren't fair, but when things go right and you get the responsibility and the credit for that, that's probably not fair either. You know what I mean? This is just the nature of the beast. And we were talking about it, and I said, it feels like De'Aaron's at a little bit of a crossroads of his career, fork in the road. Are you going to, and he's better than this guy, but hear what I'm saying right now. Are you going to be LaMelo Ball and just be like, you have really good numbers, but nobody really takes you seriously as far as a franchise guy? Or are you going to go in this direction and be a Hall of Famer? He's right there. He's looking at the fork in the road, and it feels like Mike is like, yeah, you see it. Like, you're there. You're good. You're recognized as one of the top players in this league. But if you want to be recognized as a Hall of Famer, there's another level you got to reach. James, you kind of said those intangible things. You're not sure if he's displayed that's something he can do on a consistent basis.
Well, I think, like, defensively, he's been great, right? Mm-hmm. I think he has been really good defensively, but it's those starts to quarters. I think he's done a really good job of taking over with the second team and sort of putting the team on his back for stretches when it's not the starting five in the lineup. But I don't know whether he's like trying to feel out the situation or whatever it might be, but there are games where he comes out and he's just absolutely spectacular from the opening tip. And he sets the tempo. He sets the tone for the game for his entire team. And then there are other games where he chooses to work his way into a game and not be as big of a factor. And some of that might be that, you know, they have a game plan, and the game plan is to make sure we're getting Keegan Murray a shot, or let's run these three plays to open the game and make sure we get this player X, player Y, player Z a shot. But there's also just the speed of the game that he plays at. We watched it in the Denver game the other night, where there was a point in the game where he just started changing speed, like speed and direction so quickly that Denver was just like, I don't know what to do with you. And he was just going right at them and scoring every single time. You can't just shut that off. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but his teammates can't allow him to shut it off. Like, it's got to be that, you know, and it doesn't have to be every night that he's on for the entire game, but man, that was a big game they lost the other night. And I think we all feel that at this point, like at 13 and 14, it doesn't feel like it's that big of a difference between 14 and 13, but it is, because now you got these four games we're talking about and this five game set that you're one game into. And in order for this five game set to be successful, they need to win the next four. So they've now put themselves in another situation where, number one, going down 41-21 to start a game is unacceptable. Mm-hmm. Like, it just is. You're out there with a Hall of Famer and DeMar DeRozan. No mm-hmm. question. Six-time All-Star, he's a Hall of Famer. One of the top 20 scorers of all time, right? Mm-hmm. Top 25 scorers of all time. Domantas Sabonis, who's three-time All-NBA, three-time All-Star, super, super close to a Hall of Fame resume already. and very likely a Hall of Famer. And then you got De'Aaron Fox. And on top of that, you got a number four pick at your power forward spot and a guy in Malik Monk who's playing out of his mind. So, like, look, this team should be better than 13 and 14. And I think it's on all of them, including Mike Brown to figure out, but also including Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox to figure out the holes in this roster and piece it together without gutting the roster. And that's a difficult thing. And, you know, like, Kyle and I talk about this all the time, but, you know, he's all in on trading draft picks and everything else. And I'm looking at this like, hey, man, you want to go ahead and trade that 2027 or 2028 draft pick when DeMar DeRozan's no longer on this roster? Like, it's a tough situation to be in if you're Monty McNair.
Yeah, and Monty ain't going to be here. If whatever Monty does,
he ain't going to be here.
If he fails with whatever he does, it don't matter because they ain't going to be his picks.
No, I agree. And, you know, that's the old Jerry Reynolds-ism. Jerry says if you have a five-year plan as a NBA GM, you have no plan at all. That's it. You got no plan at all. So this is that moment where, man, it could hurt. But you have to improve this team right now, or you have to admit that they're not good enough and break it up and do what other teams do when you get to this point and see if you can salvage a couple of players and build around those guys and start this thing over. Because that's kind of where you're at. I mean, you're at the bottom of the Western Conference standings. You're in the bottom three teams in the Western Conference standings. Like, that's a tough reality, but hey, nobody's crying for you. Like, go out there and number one, go out there and play better. But number two, go out there and get this team help. Like, it's pretty simple.
Is it? How are we going to word this question? Is it concern? Like, what Mike did, especially on the heels of the Draymond Green podcast and the clip that's circulating, and it's the second time. You know, De'Aaron is reiterating, hey, I love Sacramento. I love the region, love the fans, love the team, love all that. I just want to ensure that we continue to get better. And, you know, the Kings are obviously struggling, so everyone's on high alert. Is this, do you think what Mike just said in that clip that we just played, that was like the last ditch effort to like, I've got to get this guy to elevate a little bit. And we're kind of at the point where he's either going to do it as a Sacramento King or he's not. And what we heard from Mike a little bit ago was, I'm going to swing at this pitch one more time.
I guess, like,
can you call so Mike tough. And ask him?
This is like your franchise player that's and again, your franchise player decided to go on and talk to Draymond Green.
Bad right? idea.
Like, nobody made him do that. That was his decision. And that, like, from what I can tell, I'm going to guess that was not a Kings decision. That was a De'Aaron Fox decision with his team. And I get it, but I think that he, you know, he was honest to a certain degree. I think he was very clear, like, hey, you know, we're doing the best we can, but we don't have a shot blocker to go next to Domas. We don't, you know, we're missing some pieces here. Like, I don't know. Either way, like, anytime Fox is in that situation and he's going to be completely honest, I always feel like he is being completely honest. And, you know, anytime he starts cursing, you usually know that he's just, like, kind of dropping the wall and just going. And that's fine if he wants to do that. But it's also Mike's responsibility to make sure that he's putting forth what his stance is as well when it comes to this team and these players and how they all piece together. And you hope that, you know, they can all work it out together. But, you know, I believe Fox when he says, I would love to play in Sacramento my entire career. Mm-hmm. But I also know that he's expecting, you know, something like all NBA status this year. And so he can get his big money. And if not, the Kings are going to have a tough time retaining him. And in order for him to get to that point, like, he has to be that player that he was 2 weeks ago, not the one that the last five or six games, you know, I guess one game he had 29, but, like, that hasn't reached those standards that we saw earlier in the season. Like, when he was all alone and he put up 60 one night and 49 the next, it just shows you how good he can be.
Yeah.
And then when you don't get that, and we're going on, we're going out in 2 or 3 weeks where he's gone from 29 point something points per game all the way down to 26 points per game. And that means that he's taken a huge step back during that time as far as statistically. I don't know if he's averaging 22 points or 23 points over that stretch, but like,
well, the other one, everyone show me it. Points at Hammer was it Dylan Brooks? Was it the Houston? Someone pissed. Was someone didn't Dylan someone Brooks. Pissed him off versus Houston?
Dylan Brooks.
And it was like, yeah, Fox just kind of took this game over after someone pissed him off, and they wound up beating the Rockets. And then that was the one where, like, why can't De'Aaron play like this all of the time? And it's like, all right, I get, you know, not playing mad all of the time, but I can't remember. I think it was Dylan Brooks. It was Dylan Brooks. Yeah, because that was the one where he's like, yeah, they don't come back chirping very often.
Yeah.
Well, don't wait for somebody to chirp. Just go bust their ass.
Yeah.
And part of me felt like Mike was like, bro, you can bust all of them. Like, you could break all of them down. And I feel like sometimes he takes the, and I think this is what Mike was talking about at the end of that, he takes the tempo of the team instead of setting the tempo for the team, which is why I told him don't let go if everyone else has let go.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd also say this too, like Mike Brown was around Tim Duncan. He was around young LeBron James. He was around Kobe Bryant. He was around Steph Curry. Like, he knows what greatness looks like every single night and what the expectations are for greatness. And, you know, like, it doesn't matter what aspect of the game we're talking about. Like, he's seen Steph Curry, the work that Steph Curry puts into being a great player, and how Steph takes ownership in every single game of what's going to happen. Win or lose, you know, there is an ownership that Steph takes to a game. And that LeBron and that Kobe and that Duncan, like, all of these players that he's been around. And I don't think he's saying, hey, Fox, you're not that guy. I think he's saying, Fox, you are that guy, and I need this out of you. I need more out of you. I need this to be who you are every single game, where you are actually setting the tempo. And even if you go back and watch the Draymond video, again, I don't know if you guys have played any of it, but like, Draymond Green was very clear. Like Mike Brown is, in Draymond's eyes, a defensive guru. He's like, he talks about it, like, very specifically. He's like, Mike Brown is a great defensive coach, and you guys don't play defense. I don't understand. And, you know, kind of put it on De'Aaron to answer. And it's like, yeah, it's consistency. It's, you know, trying to figure out. And, you know, we talked about how Mike showed him the papers that said, hey, in order to be a great team, you have to play defense. There's only been one team that was outside of the top 10 to win an NBA championship. Like, you have to play defense in order to win. And I think Fox has listened to that. But also, I think there's a point where Fox has to not only listen and be part of the solution, but he also has to, like, he has to hold his teammates accountable in every step of the way. And that's not always easy. But again, we are in year 8 or whatever it is. And you have to, like, sit there and get into other people, not just, you know, not just try to do it yourself.
Yeah. And like we talked about, I loved what Mike Brown had to say. I loved him saying it publicly. I think when you really look at it, if you really understand what he's saying, it is one of the ultimate compliments to a guy like De'Aaron Fox. Like, you just laid out who he's played with or who he's coached with. He's seen the greatest of the greats. And he's telling De'Aaron Fox, you can be one of the greatest to ever do this. Not just a really good player in NBA history. You can be one of the greatest players of all time. You've got that. But it goes beyond the talent. It's the mentality. It's the approach. It's the night in and night out approach that you have to reach your full potential. And, you know, I don't know if you want to call it a last ditch effort or not, but it did seem like an effort to get De'Aaron to understand that. When we talked about it earlier, these guys that De'Aaron is trying to reach and we feel has the same type of talent level as some of these guys, past or present, they don't miss the playoffs. They just don't.
Yep.
You know, in the NBA, there's more than half of the teams make the – it's never in question. They always find a way. And it doesn't matter what their roster is looking like that year. You know, that's why people talk about, oh, they need more, man, they got De'Aaron Fox. And if you're one of those guys, if you're a Dame Lillard, if you're a Steph Curry, you know, Kyrie or all these other guys, like, it don't matter who else is with you. You got them. So the floor is the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a lot of what Mike Brown is talking about. Like, and you guys kind of broke some things down. Maybe, you know, you hear about, you hear him on the podcast saying, well, clearly we don't have this, so we're not that good at this, you know. And Mike might have been like, it don't matter. It's not supposed to matter. Mm-hmm. We got you. And I wonder if that was what was going on as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this is all interesting. I hope it's not leading to a breakup, to be honest with you. You know,
and I didn't think what any of that was. Yeah. I didn't think that's what Draymond Green show was about. And I didn't think that's what Mike Brown was doing today. I thought Mike Brown was being a great coach today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've also said this like a bunch of times, like De'Aaron Fox will leave Sacramento when he goes to the franchise and says, it's time for me to go. Like, I want out. That's they aren't going to like shop him unless they know he's not re-signing, or they know that they've come to an end with the relationship. And you're hoping that's not what happens here, that you don't like get to this point where he does say, hey, it's time for me to go. And I don't know how you avoid that, because like, look, again, in order for him to make all NBA, just straight up, like, we can talk all we want about 29 points per game, or, you know, like someone said, hey, come on, you can't hold him to the standard of 60 points or 49 points. You know what? Like, I don't care what people think out there. Like, if you can show that you can do that, then show me that you can do that all the time. Like, and I'm not saying he needs to average 40 points a game or 60 points a game. What I'm saying is that there's a degree of physicality and intensity that De'Aaron Fox played with in those games that he has not played with in other games. That's it. And it doesn't have to be 60 points. It doesn't have to be 49 points. It doesn't even have to be 30. But what you have to know is every single game that he's on the floor the whole time. Every minute he's on the floor, everyone on the floor feels that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that's the case all the time. And that's what I mean. Like, I don't expect him to score 35 points a game. But look, if guys who are on 13 and 14 teams, they don't make all NBA. They don't. That's it.
And
unless you're one of the media darlings, you're Luka Doncic, you're not making all NBA if you're 13 and 14 at, you know, or whatever that, if you're 37 and 45 at the end of the season.
And once that's again, it. Once again, reiterating what I feel Mike Brown was saying, I think we all kind of feel the same thing. Just put names on it. He asked him, do you want to be Nick Van Exel or you want to be Allen Iverson?
Mm-hmm.
Nick Van Exel was a special guard,
mm-hmm.
electric, mm-hmm. respected by everyone. Nick Van Exel, not a Hall of Famer. Allen Iverson was able to elevate to another level. And that's kind of what it is. You want to be Terrell Brandon or you want to be Jason Kidd? You know, there's a lot of really, I say these names, everybody remembers these names. Like, man, yeah, he could hoop. Rod Strickland, he could hoop. He was cold. But there's another level. And I think Mike Brown and those other guys see Fox is able to get to that another level. He just got to push himself just a little bit more.
Well, that, and like, I'm just looking at like what Leezy has here in the chat, and you know, this is the best team the Fox has played on paper. And I totally agree with that. This is the best team that he's played with. But that doesn't mean that the team is good enough. Like, the Western Conference is brutal. And like, we can talk about how, you know, a whole lot of things from the Denver game, right? I think Denver, the Denver game is like, it shows you something. Number one, that, you know, Mike Brown decided to start Doug McDermott, and everyone wants to just, you know, blow Mike Brown up for starting Doug McDermott. The same team that they got blown out 41-21 in the first quarter, the same exact starting lineup blew out the Denver Nuggets in the third quarter. Same exact group of players against the same defensive team. So that's a point that I would make. But at the end of the day, you still see the biggest issue this Kings team has. It doesn't matter how much talent the five guys that start the game have, there's not enough after that. and there's not enough of the right pieces. So while, yes, on paper, this team has more 20-point-per-game scorers or more 17, 18-point-per-game scorers than De'Aaron Fox has ever played with, but they...
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first-ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They also have gigantic holes that just there's no way you can get around it. I don't know if anyone else watched the tip off in that Denver Nuggets game, but I watched Doug McDermott go over and shake hands with everybody and then go stand next to Michael Porter Jr. And Michael Porter Jr. is twice his size. Hey, what is he supposed to do? What is DeMar DeRozan supposed to do against Aaron Gordon? He got backed down and scored on. That's it. Like, I would like to tell you there was another solution there, but I don't blame DeMar DeRozan for getting scored on, and I don't blame Mike Brown for starting that lineup. Like, there has to be more. You have to have more options.
They shouldn't be 13 and 14. I'll die on that hill. They should.
Oh, no.
They should not be 13 and 14 with this team. Do they need more to achieve more? Sure. But this team, they should not be 13 and 14. That's unacceptable.
And as much as they need more, they need different. And I've said that so many times. It's not that you don't have enough talent. It's that you don't have enough talent at specific areas on the court. Mm. And again, I thought the Denver game just shined a bright light. You don't have Keegan Murray, and you don't have like your only options of anyone. Like Doug McDermott's listed as 6'6". DeMar DeRozan is listed as 6'6". You started him against Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr. Mm-hmm. I've got a visitor.
Is that a squirrel?
It's all right. We're a dog friendly show.
The pug
it's
life.
The pug.
The pug life.
It's the pug. Yeah. We'll come back. I have a kind of a unfortunate question about this De'Aaron Fox conversation that we'll ask. And then of course, the Kings are back on the floor starting tomorrow. Back-to-back games against the Los Angeles Lakers. That's all coming up. Steeler with KC with James Hammond, the Insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. There's a lot of talk about Mike Brown and his impassioned comments.
Before we get into that, though,
yeah,
can I say that I'm having a little bit of FOMO? Because in the studio, sitting here watching Western Kentucky versus James Madison in the Who the Hell Knows Bowl, mm-hmm. and I didn't get my Prize Picks lineup in on time. Mm-hmm. Bad job on me. But that's the good thing about Prize Picks. I can have a lineup for this Western Kentucky-James Madison matchup. I just didn't get in on time. If you're trying to get I think UNLV and Cal play tonight, tomorrow, something like that. I don't know.
Why would I know that?
Well, that's your team, UNLV.
Well, apparently it's about to be. Cause
I know. Well, he ain't going to be there, so.
Well, I was going to say, if Joe Davidson's report's correct, hey, no, I was a big UNLV guy.
But if you're trying to get your lineups in for this bowl season, for NBA games, NCAA games, Michigan versus Oklahoma tonight in the Jordan Brand Classic, shout out, go blue.
Michigan, the football team?
No, the basketball team. Oh. Michigan, the football team, is playing Alabama in the I don't know what the hell bowl that is. Go ahead. Go to Prize Picks.
Poor Ryan Day is in the, hey, guys, I'm in the playoffs and I'm about to get fired bowl.
The Redfin Bowl. That's it.
Can't you go in and see if they have any halftime Prize Picks? You can go in and half.
You know, I could. I got to make sure I know who's playing, though. I got to make sure I know who's playing. They do have the live lineups that you could have, but I got to make sure I know some of these guys. Like S. West, I like him. He might get a sack. So go to prizepicks.com, download the app. Oh. Download the app.
Hope he gets that sack.
Put the promo code KIFM in there and get $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup. That's promo code KIFM. Must be present in certain states. Go to prizepicks.com for more information. Run your game.
There's no games tonight?
No NBA games tonight.
Real quick, while you've made your money, that's a flag too.
Whoa. What'd I say?
Talking about players going for whatever.
I also
let you make your money, but after that read, I'm throwing my flag.
I also think I think that's a flag too, and like the whole family gets a flag.
Yeah, matter of fact, mine was actually play on, but the association. Yeah,
it's a makeup call.
Yeah, it's associated. He's done cutting clips over there, and he's ready to be an official again. Talking about Mike Brown and De'Aaron Fox again, you know, Mike seemed to make this impassioned plea of asking De'Aaron to, like, step up and, you know, do these different things. And, like, Mike's not the first one to say that, and he's not the first one to say it publicly. I'm positive he's not the first one to say it privately. Mm-hmm. The unfortunate other side of this, gentlemen, is, yeah, what if that's just not him?
Mm.
Like, what if that's just not De'Aaron? Like, De'Aaron doesn't. He's just not that. He is a guy who the game gets dictated to rather than dictating the game.
Yeah, it's a tough reality because, to be honest with you, you see it so often that he has the ability. But like, there
but you see
is
the other like side that so often, too, and I think that's what drives some fans crazy.
Yeah,
there is such a fine line between really good and great. And again, I think De'Aaron Fox is a wonderful player. I've fully enjoyed covering him for the last since 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So seven, almost 8 years. I do think he's a tremendous young guy. I think he's a very, very good basketball player. But there have been a lot of players who come along that are, you know, really, really good basketball players that don't ever take that next little tiny step. And I hope that we don't like feel that way when he's done playing. I hope that there is a moment where it all fully like clicks. Mm-hmm. And I can't argue with like his stats. I think his stats are right in line with where they should be. Like maybe his 3-point percentage is a little bit lower than I would hope. But again, I think that has a lot to do with just, you know, whether he's taking off the ball threes or whether he's taking off the dribble threes. And, you know, he did not get off to a good start. But overall, like, I think he's had a really, really good season. But there is a difference between a really, really good winning a good season and a winning season. And, you know, I think the same, like, realistically, you can ask some of the same questions about DeMar DeRozan over his career, like the inability to, like, get to the championship to win the big game. And, you know, like, you can put up a lot of numbers in your career and not be one of those guys who walks away with a ring or a couple of rings. And, you know, I didn't think that this team would like adding DeMar DeRozan to this team was just going to make them a contender, but I did think that they would be a top 4, 5, 6 team in the West. And so far they have underperformed beyond anything that I could have possibly imagined.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, we see the stat that's been out there, right? That, what are they, 3-8 in games decided by 5 points or less. Mm-hmm. And even if you look at the stat on expected win total on Basketball Reference, they have them at 16-11.
Mm.
Like, over like how they played in games and what they should have won and not won. And this team just hasn't been able to figure out how to get over the hump, despite the fact that they have, you know, not only two of the best fourth quarter scorers in the NBA, but also a third guy, Malik Monk, who's just like spectacular as well, and would be in that conversation if he was playing for a different team.
If De'Aaron Fox is just who he is, I still think that is enough to be, with everything else around him, a perennial playoff
team. That's a wild sentence. If De'Aaron Fox just is who he is.
Change, De'Aaron. Change.
If he continues to be who we've seen him to be, mm-hmm. then there's not another level of mentality or actual gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that's good enough to be a perennial playoff team. Is it enough to be a championship guy? It doesn't feel like it. But I still think, you know, and I'm thinking more so like right now where we're at, you know, he's got enough. They have enough to perform better, you know. And one of the things that we talked about ad nauseum that Mike maybe was challenging him for is like not letting that be the bar, you know, like not letting just playoffs be the bar. Expect championships from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think De'Aaron Fox does expect those type of things, but you guys have probably seen it a lot, you know, just in your every walk of life. There's sometimes when, you know, athletes or individuals, they think they see greatness, but they don't even see like what they really could be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, others can see it, or some people can see like, no, you, I know you have confidence. I know you think you're really, really good, but you don't understand how good you really could be.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like that's what Mike Brown is trying to tell De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to make a weird comparison here because I think it kind of fits. Like you guys know, like I'm part of the straw poll that Tim Bontemps puts together
for
ESPN.
Yep, that's your boy.
I know you love Tim Bontemps. I know. I think we'll have him on as a guest just to spite you guys.
Please do.
No, you should.
It's
awesome.
He can tell you how much he hates Sacramento.
Yeah. We're starting the straw poll again, and he hit me up the other night, and I put my fifth and MVP balloting. I went through and I had Shea and I had Giannis and I had Jokic and I had Luka. And then I looked for my fifth, the number five in MVP balloting. And I don't think there's any way you can look past him. I think Karl Anthony Towns should be in the MVP conversation. Mm. And I've never felt that way about him. Okay. I've never once felt that way about him. But here he is at almost 25 points a game, and he's leading the league in rebounding. Mm. He's at almost 14 rebounds per game. He's 5 rebounds over his average from last season with Minnesota. And so for me, like I'm watching a player who went from being in a situation that was always like, you know, like it doesn't, if Minnesota makes the playoffs, they make the playoffs, but there were more seasons than not where they didn't during his time there. And this last couple of years where they've been pretty solid, you expected him to do more, like sort of expected the team to take that leap, but he never really felt like he took that tremendous leap in my mind. And then I watch him with the Knicks, and for whatever reason, everything is clicked. And he's shooting the ball incredibly from three. And he's not only is he shooting from three, but he's rebounding at just this enormous clip. So for me, like I don't want to say that De'Aaron Fox has to go somewhere else to go find that. But I do think that there are situations in which a player just all of a sudden there is a switch that's hit and they become so they live up to who they should be the entire time. And it's when stats, when their play on the court starts to transcend their statistical, you know, numbers. And I think that that's what we're waiting for with Fox. The statistical numbers say he's one of the top like 12, 15 players in the league. But taking your team to another level, becoming something different for a team is what we're waiting for. And like, look, De'Aaron Fox, what do we have? We have Dave Yeager. We have Alvin Gentry. We have Luke Walton. And now Mike Brown, like there's been a lot of different voices that have, you know, sort of been in charge of his team. But every single one of those calls him the head of the snake, and they've all pushed for this moment where it all clicks. And I don't know, maybe the Mike Brown statement is something where it does click. Maybe his conversations with Draymond and his conversations off the record with Draymond, because I guarantee you that interview didn't end when the camera stopped rolling.
Yeah,
that
Draymond told him to come to Golden State.
Yeah.
Quite well, frankly, when Fox wins a championship, it's going to be because of me and the conversation that I had with him. Yeah. And it's one of those things that De'Aaron Fox just has to understand. Be more like Draymond, right, BD?
It's like the National Lampoon's dog. Just let him finish. It's easier for all of us.
Yeah. Just let him ride it. Just let him ride
it. Eddie's dog.
Snot.
Just let him finish.
But see, some Mississippi hound in him. Is that what he says? Some Mississippi leg hound in him. That's what I think the line is. There we go.
So this is all fun. James, we got games to win starting tomorrow. And the tough part, really, I mean, about this stretch, about the game on Monday, and about this entire conversation about, I guess, ending Fox's career with the Kings, they're actually playing well. I mean, they're not great on the defensive end, which is certainly problematic. And, well, if you just throw out the first quarter, it's not so bad against Denver. But, like, they're doing some things now that they weren't doing earlier in the season. And it feels like they've got a few more things that they've got to pull together, and they might be able to turn this around a little bit. Use the Milwaukee Bucks as motivation, I guess.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. I think that they are super close, and that's the frustrating part. You know, I think, to play into the bigger conversation here that Mike Brown keeps pushing forward is, you know, again, you go down 41-21, you throw up 47 points in the second quarter. You have another big quarter in the third where you blow a team out. You go up 10 with 4 minutes left, and the Kings allowed an opponent to score on seven consecutive shots and an additional two trips to the free throw line. So in the last 4 minutes of that game against Denver, Denver goes 7-7 from the field and 4-4 from the line to put up 21 points in 4 minutes and beat them. And that's what Mike is saying. It doesn't matter how good we are offensively. Like, go ahead and everybody tout the offense and everybody scream from the, you know, that you want to see the number one rated offense again. None of that matters if you can't stop anybody. Mm. And, you know, if they had one stop, they win that game. They have two stops, they win that game almost comfortably. Like, that's the problem. If you can't get stops in a situation like that, and that game is like some weird anomaly game where all kinds of things go wrong and go right and all that. But I think the point is still there, you know, and also I think playing a game without Keegan Murray just shows you just how glaring the weakness is at that 3-4 position. But just really, really tough to like wrap your head around how this team could not be better, not only you know, on this season, but at home, you know.
The interesting thing about that is we talked about this yesterday, like, what are we talking about if DeRozan doesn't fumble the ball and he dunks it? I don't think we're talking
you over it, DeMar. No, I'm not.
But I don't think we're talking about not getting stops necessarily. Like, it's still going to be like it's, but it's going to be like, well, this is why you have the clutch guys.
Well,
do you think Denver, B-Lo and JC and Denver are talking about Denver not being able to get stops the other night? So,
no, we aren't. We're probably not. I think Mike is, though.
Yeah.
Like, I joke, like, yeah. And I wasn't joking. I bet Michael Malone was pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's just a nasty human being who's mad at everything. He was probably
pissed. He almost
pissed.
Snapped his clipboard in the third quarter. Like, to start the third, he almost snapped his clipboard in half.
Oh, so in my guess is, all right, you jackasses escaped with one. We just gave up 129 points in a game we were up 20 by, 23 by.
Yep.
But, like, I don't, and I think Mike Brown would have been maybe not as surly as Michael Malone, but I think Mike would have been pissed, too.
We
wouldn't have cared. That would have been four straight wins, and the Kings would have been a game above 500.
Yeah, and that wouldn't be the talking point. And also, it's just the balance. It's not one more important than the other. You know what I mean? It's just the balance. You got to be able to do both, because if you want to get in a rock fight and stop everybody all the time, but you're shooting 3 of 31 from beyond the arc, it's not going to matter.
How many rock fights have you been in?
Four.
Did you win all of them?
I'm here, ain't I?
Well. Four total. He's got the wounds to prove it. Yeah. This is a tough situation to be in. And I do think that we would have had a whole different perspective if DeMar DeRozan would have hit that dunk. But here's the problem that I'll tell you. When he went baseline and caught the ball originally, put the ball on the floor, and then fumbled it, if he would have gone right up and dunked the ball, it would have been around 2.8 seconds left. I bet you the Kings would have lost either way. And that's the problem. Damn. When you can't stop anybody and you've proven it for 4 minutes straight that you're not stopping anybody, that team had so much confidence. Even if that ball – now, if he would have hit the jump shot, now we're talking about like 1.1 seconds left. Maybe you escape with a win, but I don't know. My money still would have been on Denver to win that game, because if you can't show that you can stop somebody when it matters, you're not going to do it. You're
well, the way that game was going,
it.
I don't think we had seen a missed shot for 2 minutes.
And we didn't see a missed shot from them for four.
Well, there you go. Oh, well, from them, yeah.
Quiet as kept. The play was designed beautifully. Mm-hmm. And
gorgeous.
Sabonis to DeRozan is perfectly fine. There's always a part of me every time I see that. I wonder, what if Domas would have passed it to the right and got it to a wide-open Doug McDermott for three?
Doug McDermott hitting the game winner at the Golden One Center on the 14th day of December in 2024 would have been amazing.
Would that have been the biggest random game winner of the Kings since Metu hit his?
Yes. Since Metu, yes. Yeah, I don't know. And, that one's equal. I don't know. That one's equal.
Well, Scalabiciere at Madison Square Garden. Yep.
God.
Game winning
at
three.
At the Garden. Oh, my God.
Yeah, at the Garden.
That might be the winner just because it's at a Garden.
At the Garden.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man. Scal. Scal turned Scal. It up in Stockton.
I'll salute to Scal.
Yeah. Hey, James, real quick. If the Kings are in a pinch, right? Herter's hurt. Keegan Murray's hurt. And they've got these two-way guys, Isaiah Crawford and Mason Jones. If they can't come up in those situations, why are they on two-way contracts?
I mean, it's a good question. I don't think well, first of all, here's an easy answer. You don't need to use those two-way days just to use them, right? So
they need to play.
I'm sure that they both still have plenty of days left. But there could come a point in the season where you're down like three or four guys and you know that you're going to need those guys and you want to have as many of the 50 days as possible because it can be a long stretch of games and they are capped at how many games they can play. It's not even how many games they can play. It's how many games they're active. Mm. And we're going to get to that point with Isaac Jones like very soon. I don't know how many games Isaac Jones has been active for, but I'm going to guess it's around like 21, 22. Mm. And so he's almost halfway there. And you're going to have to make a decision right around the All-Star break what you're going to do with him. You know, whether you're going to sign him to a regular contract or you're going to just send him down to the G League and let him play down there until the end of the season. I'm going to guess that they will have cleared up a roster spot by then and been able to fit him into the roster, a roster spot. But that's, you know, it's one of the realities of having two-way players. And I know, like, you can suit up 15 in a game, but that doesn't mean you have to suit up 15. And if you've got the two-ways and you don't want to burn through a bunch of their days, plus both of those guys have been beat up a little bit. I think there's a hand injury for Mason Jones, and he is playing, but he just came back after missing a game or two. And then Isaiah Crawford, has had issues as well. He had a leg issue. He is back on the court, but, you know, they missed time, so it might just be that they're not ready to play at the NBA level.
We were so focused on De'Aaron. Does James, and you may not know this, you were busy hosting an award-winning radio show. Does anyone know about Keegan?
No, I haven't heard anything yet. I haven't been able to watch the clips from practice. We'll check that out. And I don't know. It was weird when I asked Mike Brown very specifically about him pregame. When did this happen? You know, what are we dealing with here? And he said, he looked at us and like, I don't know. I just know he has a sore ankle and he can't play. And he looked over at Shannon. Shannon, do you have anything else? She said, no, I don't have anything else. And that was it.
Hmm. Well, to be fair, Mike Brown's the wrong person to ask.
Yeah, Mike never knows. Hey, Mike, Kevin's back. Oh, yeah, I was in a meeting. I don't really know. So, yeah, Mike's probably – I don't know who you ask if you don't ask the head coach. Just don't ask our head coach. We'll just – maybe just go straight to Shannon. I don't know. Great stuff as always. So what are we doing tonight?
We're watching Michigan and Oklahoma on the Jordan Brand Classic.
Okay.
Stop playing.
Let me try that again. What are the rest of us doing tonight?
I got trivia night, and then I'm on the after party with the Chatty House.
Yes. Okay, Chatty House after party.
Chatty team. House after midnight.
Dark.
What is it?
No, you got it.
After party.
Yeah, after party. Yeah, Chatty House after dark. I talked him out of. I was like, I don't know that this is the move we want to go with, but Chatty House after party. We'll be jumping for sure. Make sure you tapped into the social channels for that. And We'll see you tomorrow. Kings back on the floor against the Los Angeles Lakers. We'll get you ready for it. Deuce Mason returns to the show tomorrow in the 1 o'clock hour. Matt George will be with us as well. And, of course, the insiders, James Hamm and Kyle Mattson, take the air at 10 o'clock. Make sure that you are locked in here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Michigan. Go blue.